Today's passage comes from the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9-13. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
A farmer bought this used car, smart car from a minister. And well, it's a smart car. So the minister, the pastor told the farmer that, you know, this car is it's a smart car, and there's a install a lot of artificial intelligence in it. So there's no gas pedal in this car. So when you want to start the car, you just have to say, Hallelujah! And then the car will go slowly. And then if you want the car to go faster, so you repeat it 3 times, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah! And then the car will go like a rocket, you know, because it has an electric motor in it. So there's no gears in it. Right? The motor can speed up really fast. Right? All those electrical engineers here. Right? You know, that's why electrical cars are so fast. You just spin like crazy and go 300 miles per hour in no time. And then the farmer said, oh, how do I stop this car? No, I don't see a brakes in this car. And then the minister said, oh, then there's no brakes in this car. All you have to say is amen. Car will stop. So simple. So this farmer took this car and then trusted this pastor. So pastor don't lie. No? So he trusts that this is a good car. So he started the car saying, Hallelujah. And the car just inch forward slowly. So he said, wow, this is cool. And then he remembered that the minister said, if you shout Hallelujah 3 times, no, the car will speed up like a Ferrari. So it's a Hallelujah, Hallelujah. So it's a 3 times and got, wow, in about 2 seconds, no, from 0 to 300 kilometers per hour, the car shum. Oh, so this is so fun, no? So he keeps saying, okay, how about give it more boost? So he said, Hallelujah. So he keeps saying the car just going like crazy. And then after a few minutes, he realized that he's going towards a cliff, right? He said, uh-oh, I'm in trouble now. So he looked. Where's the gas? Where's the brake? The floor brake? There's no brake in this car. Ah, so he panicked. So he said, stop, you know, help me, stop. The car won't stop. Right? And then suddenly he remembered, you know, the pastor said, you know, you say, amen, the car will stop. And he said, so he said, amen, amen. So he said, you know, shout amen. The car come to a full stop, you know, and he said, they look at, wow, he's about 2 inches from the cliff. So he was so happy. Then he said, Hallelujah, Hallelujah. Of course, this is a story. But sometimes our prayers are like that. It's okay. We praise the Lord. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, amen. But sometimes that's all we are saying in our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this meal, delicious meal we're going to enjoy. Amen. Right? Thank you. And it is absolutely nothing wrong with that. We should give praise to God all the time. But there should be more than that in our prayers. And sometimes you think about it, Christians are funny believers. If you ask any Christians, they will say that prayer is very important, but no one would dare, at least to say in front of you, that prayer is not important. Right? We all believe God answers prayer from Sunday school, from the preachers, from reading the Bible ourselves. So we all know that it's important for us to pray. But if you think about it, it is the one program or activities that we spend the least amount of time in, isn't it? We spend at least an hour and a half here worshiping. And after that, you're all going to go to Sunday school, right? Amen? Amen. Okay, I see that there's not too many response here. But you're all going to go to Sunday school and going to Uncle Ezra's course and Uncle Rob's course and class. And then there's a basic truth class. So you're all going to go to Sunday school and then you go to lunch with Cornell's people and with Clay, and then you go home, right? So you spend a few hours, then you come to the fellowship. You came last night, and then you go on Thursday night to Cornell's and Clay's. So you spend a lot of time. That's good. We have that. But when it comes to prayer meeting or even prayer time, then we tend to shy away from it. So the answer I get from most people at church, when I ask, especially the leaders, they're always busy. So usually I ask the leaders first, right? Why don't you come to prayer meetings? And said, I'm too busy. No, I have to have this planning meeting, that planning meeting. I'm really busy. I lost so many meetings at church that there are no time to go to prayer meeting. Charles Spurgeon said, the prince of preaching, sometimes we think we are too busy to pray. That is a great mistake, for praying is a saving of time. Wow, okay, this is interesting. Right? Praying is a saving of time. We thought that, well, most of the time, I think we believe that praying is a waste of time, isn't it? I could do a lot of things, and I could do a lot of planning, attend a lot of meetings, I can study the Bible, but sitting in the prayer meeting for 30 minutes, what are we going to get out of it? So sometimes you think praying is a waste of time. But Spurgeon reminded us here, that's a mistake, for praying is a saving of time, because when we get God, praying is to get God on our side, to work alongside us, isn't it? So when God is on your side, it's actually saving your time. Right? You got someone, God himself, helping you. And sometimes we don't like to pray together and go to prayer meetings or even personal prayers because we think that we are not spiritual enough. You know, we are not strong enough. You know, prayers is for elders, pastors, for Sunday school teachers, for leaders. I'm not good enough to pray, to join in prayer meeting. I don't know what to say. Not to pray because you do not feel fit to pray is like saying, I will not take medicine because I'm too ill. This is a very interesting analogy here. I'm not good enough to pray, but it's because you are not good enough, so we should pray more. I'm still learning how to pray from some other prayer warriors in our church. There are many prayer warriors in our church, not too many. But a few. When I pray with them, I can feel this power in their prayers. So I myself still learning how to pray. And in this last couple of years, after I took up this job, I pray more than ever before in all my ministry years. Praying is not just go to God and ask for things like this prayer sorting department head, sweeping all the prayer requests. Prayer is more than just asking for this, asking for that. And prayer is going to someone, our Heavenly Father, to give him thanks. The scripture we are studying this morning, we call it the Lord's Prayer. But actually, this is not the Lord's, it's not Jesus' prayer. It's actually Jesus trying to teach us how we should pray. So it is actually our prayer. It's the Lord's template of prayer for us. There are six requests or prayer items, prayer requests, highlights, prayer highlights, however you want to label it. There are six prayer items here. Three belongs to heavenly matters, and three belong to earthly matters. But actually, the three that we thing is belong to earthly matters, it still belong to heaven. So we pray on earth as it is in heaven. So the very third thing that Jesus teach us is We are praying to our Father who is in heaven. Our Father who is in heaven. This Lord's Prayer, we are already familiar with it, and Abel was able to recite it without looking at it. I'm sure we got it, most of us got it all memorized. But it is a very important lesson, a prayer template. The very first thing that Jesus taught us how to pray is, who are you praying to? Our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, it is actually very special calling. It's more like today, our Daddy, to be more accurate. Our Daddy in heaven. Before that was written or said, the Jewish people dare not to call our Heavenly Father Jehovah, a God, as a daddy. But Jesus here is setting an example and is teaching us when we pray, it's very important that we have to look at our relationship with this Heavenly Father. It is like a daddy to you. When you pray, pray to him like a child coming to his or her daddy. I have many titles. People call me by different titles. And Pastor Norman, most common. A few people call Reverend Tong. I mean, that's very rare. Some call me Uncle. I mean, in Uncle Norman. In English, we are more casual. So I've been called Uncle Norman quite often by some teens. Uncle Norman. Mr. Tong. When I go to see a doctor. Mr. Tong, your turn. Mr. Norman Tong. But among all the titles, the one that I enjoy the most is Daddy, Daddy, come to my room. There's a spider in my room. Guess who's that from? Come and catch the spider. That's the time that my daughter is most desperate for me. Come on, Daddy. I said, what spider? even Cynthia now sometimes calls me Daddy. Where's Daddy? Where's your Daddy? That's such a closeness, isn't it? When you call your father Daddy. Or if you are a father or mother, someone call you mommy, daddy. So very first things Jesus teaches us here is our relationship with God. Before we even start praying, that we have to realize that our Father, Heavenly Father, is so close to us. It's like a daddy. So in prayers, we're not praying to some distant, high power authority in heaven. It's very close. It's like your daddy. And it is the first thing that we have to realize. In our prayers, we're praying to our daddy. And Eugene Peterson was a professor at Regent College. I wouldn't say that I've read most of his books, but I have most of his books. I'm still trying to read through all the books that he has written. He has translated the English Bible into what we call nowadays the Message version. It is not a translation that I would encourage you to use in your Bible study because it is not an exact translation from the original language. If you want a Bible, someone asked me which English translation is closest to the original language, that would be the New American Standard Bible. But the Message Bible is good for devotion. A lot of the wordings in it, I would say that Pastor Eugene Peterson add to it himself. So, but it is good for devotion. So Matthew chapter 6, 5 to 8, the passage right before the Lord's Prayer. And this is what he said. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. Interesting. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? You think God is watching a show? Our prayer meeting is a show? Making a theatrical Broadway show here. Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly, as simple and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors, but I do know some prayer warriors in this church. Pastor Chow, the founder of this church, and the founder of the First Chinese Alliance in Canada, Pastor Chow, is a prayer warrior, and I wish I can learn more from him when he was still here. The world is full of so-called, so he's talking about the so-called prayer warriors, who are prayer ignorant. They are full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and He knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray really simply like this. With a God loving you. Before we pray, we have to remind and engulf ourselves in God's love before we even start asking Him. Hallowed be thy name. That's how Jesus started the prayers. That His name is holy, purified, separated from sin. So the very first things we ask in our prayers is that His name, that be hallowed. And in one of the books, I forgot which book, that Eugene Peterson wrote, and he said that one time he went to a Bible study. So half of the members in this Bible study group are Christians. The other people are Jewish, so they don't believe in Christ. So I don't know what they study. I guess they must study the Old Testament. So it is a John Bible study. So one of the rabbis in that Bible study group, so rabbi is a teacher, a Jewish teacher. And then when it was his turn to lead the Bible study, so he printed all the materials nicely. And then he, during the Bible study, this must be an Old Testament study, so he handed out the material. So when the Bible study was finished, so he asked everybody to give him back the material. So Eugene asked him, "No, why, what for? No, we just throw it away or take it home." I said, no, because on the printout, there's God's name on it, Jehovah. And we cannot let God's name be abused or disposed by Gentiles. I guess he's referring to the Christians. So I'm going to take all the printed material home. I'm going to burn it, you know, so that it won't be abused. So that's how they treat God's name as holy. So we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, that we do not take the name of our Lord God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. The name of our Lord himself, there's power in it. Some boast in chariots and some in horses, but we shall boast in the name of the Lord our God. So the very first thing we should pray is that God's name be respected. Nowadays, you look at the world, look at our country, our society. Christians don't get much respect. And our Lord Jesus definitely are not respected by people outside the church. But we pray that His name will be lifted up, will be respected. And that His kingdom will come. The second thing Jesus taught us to pray is to pray for His kingdom. The kingdom will come. And the Pharisees thought that Jesus, when He talked about the kingdom, the Pharisees thought that He's talking about the kingdom, the government, the worldly kingdom. But Jesus said, no, the kingdom is here, the kingdom is there, the kingdom is among you. The kingdom is in your heart. So Jesus is talking about the kingdom in the believer's heart, in people, that when we commit our life to Him, that Jesus has control over our life, then the kingdom is within your heart, within yourself. So when God's power is in every human being, every person on this earth, then God's kingdom will have come from heaven, filled the earth. So we pray that our life, all the Christians' lives, they are under the control of God. But also we pray that Jesus will enter the hearts of every person, every human on earth, so that God's kingdom, his power, his reign, his authority can be covered the whole earth. So we pray. So in our prayers, not only that we pray for our church, we pray for people outside our church. We pray for all the lost ones. Next week, we're going to have a mission conference that we haven't done that for quite a number of years now. I'm glad that the mission department has this vision and energy. They spend a lot of time in arranging the prayer, mission conference, our own mission conference, next Friday, next Saturday. We pray that we'll sell 200 dinner tickets. It's not just any dinner. Right? This is a mission dinner, so I don't know what I'll be eating, but they promised me something you don't normally eat, so that we can expose and get to know different cultures. So the mission, our church has a strong emphasis on mission. Maybe not enough, but we'll continue to pray for the lost souls, not only sending out our resources, our money, and some of you actually going to a short-term mission. Celine is going to Panama next month, May 30th. So we're going to commission her. We're going to pray for her. So I'm so excited. She's going to represent us to go there. And so we pray that God's kingdom will be on this earth. That means we pray for all the lost souls. We pray that God is in command. And we pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I missed that. Okay. We pray for God's will on earth as it is in heaven. As Jesus was preparing her suffering on the cross, he asked the Father God that, can this cup be removed? Do I have to take this cup? But it's not according to my will, but according to thy will. And I think I shared this before. Before I accepted this job to serve as the senior pastor of the church, and Cynthia and I spent a lot of time praying. It's not that we don't want to give up what we had, my job, which I enjoyed quite a bit. But we were worried that if it's not God's will, then we'll be in deep trouble taking up this job. And for the last 2 years, I always pray to God about our church. We want that every church want to have lots of people, lots of programs, but that's not my worry. I always pray to God that my greatest worry is that we are not walking in God's will. We say, see, as long as we are working in God's plan, God will look after us. God will take care of us. It is God's will that we have to seek. So in our prayers, it's not just what we want that we present them to God. It's not a wish list like a Santa Claus. But we have to listen and hear and discern God's will. But sometimes we just don't have time for that, even in our prayers. So when I review our joint prayer meetings, and I think sometimes we fall into the same trap as well. We try to squeeze to pray a lot of things in that 30 minutes, and then we end up don't have time to listen to God. And this cartoon tells us a lot. Lord, it is prayer time. If you have anything to say to me, make it quick, because it is almost bedtime. Our prayer meeting is almost over. Lord, if you want to reveal anything to us, quick. We don't have 30 minutes in our church prayer meetings. We're running out of time. We have told you what we want. to give us 200 people in the mission conference dinner. We want 50 teens to go to the teens camp, 100 kids. And then after he said, oh, time is up, Lord. If anything you want to reveal us, do it quick. I need to go to bed. I need to go home. We have to listen more. We have to spend more time in prayers. We don't pray enough, individually or as a church. Every Sunday afternoon, actually, I stay here. There's one sister from Mandarin Church. She stays here every Sunday to pray for the church in my office. She will stay there and pray for hours. And when I finish our work at church, so that's why I don't normally go out for lunch. I usually skip lunch on Sunday. And then I will join her for prayers. And we pray for sometimes an hour. Well, at least she prayed for an hour. We don't pray for that long. She prayed for 2 hours. Prayer takes time, but it is a good investment. We need to pray more, give God more time to speak to us. Now we come to our needs on earth. Ask God to give us our daily bread. And I like, I saw this on the internet when I Google. And actually, there's a book and many books on the most powerful prayers to win the lottery. This is not a joke. I thought it's a joke, but it's not. It's very serious. Our Father in heaven, you have always been there for me, and I must ask for your help again. Every Tuesday and Friday evening, you bless someone with a mega million jackpot. See, I never buy that, so I don't even know how to pronounce it. I'm humbled by your generosity and the abundance in this world. I ask that you send an angel to the TV studio in Atlanta, Georgia, where the Mega Millions drawing is held. Please have the angel draw these five numbers, okay? And then read your lottery ticket numbers out loud. Know that I intend to share the winnings with those that need it most. I will use the jackpot to qualify you in all ways. In your name I pray, amen. Hey, this is a very spiritual prayer. I'm going to help the poor. I'm going to donate the church so that they can buy that house and then we will expand and run away. And then actually there are many books like that. Miracle Prayers for Winning the Lottery. Ask and it shall be given. How biblical can that be? Goodness, okay. But Eugene Peterson, in the Message Bible, he translated this verse, this request that way. Keep us alive with three square meals. I typed that wrong. That's not messenger. It's a Message Bible. Keep us alive with three square meals. I thought that's a really good, interesting, inspiring translation. I'm sure the original Greek doesn't say it that way, but it's a good insight, reflections. We ask God to keep us alive, so keep us good health. So good, okay to ask for healing. And actually, we as a CNMA, we believe in divine healing. So that's, study your local, VCAC local again. It's okay to ask for divine healing. It's okay to ask for God's providence to give us our daily bread. So in Chinese, it would be a few bowls of rice, I guess. Three square meals, three bowls of rice. God will provide and keep us alive. You're not going to get a Ferrari, you ask. But you may get a Corolla, right? Even a red one, maybe. And here, God said that Jesus teaches us to make three requests, only three. It's like the Aladdin. You only have three requests here, three wishes. The first one is our physical needs, our daily needs. The second and the third is our spiritual needs. There's only three wishes. So this must be very important. The next one, it took me a little bit time to understand. If we are only given three wishes, so this must be very important, right? The next one, it seems that something is not quite exactly what I want to ask for. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So the next thing doesn't seem to be something that we normally want to ask. But the next one, the first one is asking our Heavenly Father for our daily bread. The next one is actually asking Jesus for his redemption of our spiritual life. And the third one, we are asking the Holy Spirit to protect us from the evil forces. We are asking, so Jesus actually, he did not say it, but he's asking us to pray to our Father for our physical needs, Jesus for his redemption, and the Holy Spirit for his protection. But why is this so important here? The second request here, that we ask us to forgive others. Think about it. What are the things that trouble you the most? Is it the money? Yeah, I guess money. I guess that's lots of money helps. The price of the oil, the gasoline, yeah, that annoys me. Right? Especially if we are an oil-producing country. The price of the house, cost of buying a house, yeah, that would upset you if you don't own a house yet. But you think about it, the thing that upset you the most, at least the thing that keep me from sleeping at night. I usually don't have a problem with sleeping at night. But once a while, in my years of ministry, I do have a few sleepless nights. Not that many. I usually sleep really well. But think about it, there's a few sleepless nights. What caused me those sleepless nights? It's not because not enough people showing up on the worship service. It's not because the mission conference, nobody come. I'm sure some people will come. But most of the time it's because I have some conflict with church leaders, church members, isn't it? Most of the time when we are not happy, it's because of relationships, be it your spouse, your boss, your colleagues, your classmates, your friends. Think about it, isn't it? Or a church, brothers and sisters. Most of the time we are not happy, it's because of some conflicts, tension with people. So Jesus here is actually telling us that you want to have an abundant life, this is how you pray. You pray for your physical needs. That's very important. If you're dying, it's hard to be thinking of other things. So pray for good health, pray for basic needs. And the next second most important thing is pray for our forgiveness. That Jesus has forgiven us through his redemption provided for us, and therefore we should forgive others. Jesus is not here and saying that who is right, who is wrong, but just forgive. Once our eyes have been opened to see the how God has forgiven us, then it's not difficult for us to see how we can forgive others. And this is, that will bring us peace, joy, happiness. So Jesus asking us to pray for something that we actually greatly needed. Not just a house. Well, yeah, we need a house to live in. We need a place to live. But that's more important, to have harmony with people. That will bring you peace, prosperity, shalom. And D.L. Moody said, I firmly believe a great many prayers are not answered because we are not willing to forgive someone. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So the last request to God is a spiritual one. Jesus did not tell us to ask us to win over temptations, to erase, to abort all the temptations, but to deliver us, to protect us, to save us. Because most of the time, temptation usually comes in through a door that has been deliberately left opened. We always blame the devil for everything. You know, the devil made me do it. But sometimes we deliberately, purposely left a small door open. And that's where temptation came in. And Jesus here teaches us when we pray to God not to abolish all the temptations, but to help us to run away from it, to stay away from it, because we cannot win the temptation. And temptation is always there. So Karl Barth, a famous 20th century theologian, said, "Ask me no questions about the demon, for I am not an authority on the subject. However, it is necessary for us to know that the devil exists and then hasten to get away from him." So he's trying to say that all he knows, the devil is there. The temptation is there. All we can do is to run away from it. Don't leave that small door open. So the third one is a spiritual request that Jesus is teaching us to pray for God's protection, to protect us leaving that small door open, to protect us walking into that temptation. It's a very simple template for us to pray, but if you review our prayers, very often we are stuck at our daily bread. We pray for our physical needs. But in our prayers, we need to pray for God's name be lifted on earth. God's kingdom be in the hearts of all the people on this earth. Pray for the lost ones, lost souls. And we pray for God's will, and we need time to listen. We need time to pray, to quiet, and let God reveal his direction for our life. We pray for our daily bread, our 3 square meals each day to keep us alive. That's really okay, all right, we should pray for that, good health. But don't just stop there. And what's more important, ask God to help us to forgive the people who has wronged us. Only then that we can live in harmony, we can have a peaceful life. And that's, isn't that more important than your 3 square meal? And constantly ask God to protect us, protect our church as well, from walking astray from the truth. If you look at the churches today, many churches have compromised their faith, their belief, because of the power, the pressure from the secular world. There are many churches have given up an inch each time, and eventually they went gone astray from the truth. So we pray for God to protect us from the evil forces, that we will stay on the truth and teach nothing but the truth. I will pray to God to deliver us, not to erase, but to deliver us from the temptations. Normally, preachers do not end a sermon with a cartoon. It's not. Can you move the slide a minute? One slide? Okay. Normally, we don't like to end it with a funny slide, but I thought this slide is very meaningful and can remind us. So what is the difference between praying in a church and praying in a casino? I never been to a casino. Well, I did go to Vegas before, but I never tried to sit down and pray, even though I do walk through casinos. But so I don't know. So what's the difference between praying in a church and praying in a casino? In a casino, you really mean it. Okay. Now, this is maybe it's supposed to be a comic joke, but if you think about it, maybe we should be praying like we are in a casino, that we really mean it. Or we should be praying like we are just about to be wheeled into the surgery room. And trust me, that's one of my most intense prayer. The minute when they roll me into the surgery room and ask me to sign that line there, you know, that we're going to operate on you, you know, if you, then I pray like crazy. Maybe sometimes we need that. We pray it when we really mean business. What I learned from Pastor Chow is that he said that when you pray with heart and soul, you really mean it. Prayer is the natural outgushing of a soul in communion with God. When we are in a close relationship with Jesus, with God, we cannot stop praying. You have to force someone not to pray, not to come to prayer meetings. So it is maybe a time, a moment for us to reflect that our lack of interest, energy, eagerness to pray, maybe it is a reflection of our relationship with Jesus.